I grew up in a good home, good mom and daddy that loved the Lord. But my problem as a teenager, and even before that, I would sit with a bad influence in church and listen to what they had to say instead of what the man of God had to say, and didn't give myself an opportunity to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And when God allowed me to get away from that, and I don't mean that in a bad way, like I said, I had a good mom and daddy, but just a matter of a week or two, God spoke to my heart and put me under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, and put me under the condemnation of the sin that I was living in, amen, and saved me by the grace of God. And man, I tell you, it's been a different world since, amen. But anyway, I meant to mention this a moment ago, but we are being assisted by Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions. They're in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. But we are currently about 90% of our support, and looking to relocate to Alaska. I told Pastor we're going to be purchasing our tickets, amen, this week probably. And but please make that an object of prayer, amen. This man this morning told me, he said, "You getting that wheelie feeling in your stomach?" I said, "Well," I said, "just the flesh side of me says, you know, there's a little bit of change here. There's some reserve there, but I tell you, our faith and our trust is in way more than physical things, amen. It's in a God, amen, that's able to touch and able to help us and strengthen us and provide for each and every need. He's never failed us yet, amen. And I tell you, God's proven some things to us, amen. In the November marked 2 years of full-time deputation for us, and since then, God's given us a pulpit. And matter of fact, it was the pulpit that I preached my first message on. God's going to let me take that thing to Alaska with us, amen. And the communion table, two nice chairs, and all the chairs that I'll ever need, more than likely. God's already given that to us, a soundboard. And I tell you, being a missionary on deputation, having an organ donor brings new meaning, amen. God's given us an organ, and I tell you, just done so many things for us. Allowed us to cross paths with people here in the lower 48, with family and friends and acquaintances right there in Cordova, Alaska. We were in this last spring in Nicholasville, Kentucky, in a meeting. And during that meeting, the first night of the meeting, was a week-long meeting. The family hosted my family and I in their home. And first night of the meeting, the lady of the house sat across from us, and she said, "Where are you going in Alaska?" And I said, "Cordova." And with tears in her eyes, she leaned back and she said, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "I've got a first cousin that's in Cordova, Alaska." And she said, "I've been praying for a long time that the Lord would send somebody there to be a witness to her." And I tell you, you know, by the grace of God, she'll be able to get a clear presentation of the gospel. Amen. And, you know, I trust that the Lord will get us there in His time. And keep everybody there. Well, I tell you, with the suicide rate, it just breaks your heart. And it really does. We just returned from the whole month of October from Alaska. We were able to go into Cordova. We made up some brochures, kind of introducing us to the community, renewed some of the acquaintances we've made on previous trips. And, you know, there again, God allows us to meet people. Amen. Allows us to cross paths with so many people that are excited about us coming. And I'd be lying to you if everybody wanted us there. We met a few people that don't want the light of the gospel, amen. But nevertheless, we're going to obey the Lord, amen. But anyway, if you have your Bible tonight, and certainly after the service, if you have any questions, please, by all means, feel free to ask any question. We'll answer to the best of our ability. And we have a table set up out there in the vestibule. I would like for each and every one of you, amen, to get one of our prayer cards and remember to pray for us. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, very, very familiar, probably one of the most popular passages of Scripture when the subject of missions is in mind. But you know, we think about this passage of Scripture here, and, you know, this is not an option, amen. This is for the child of God. This is a commandment for the church of the living God. This is something that God has commanded us to participate in. And Pastor was sharing with me before service. And by the way, when I asked him about the time limit, he said, just, you know, let them out, you know, by the time Waffle House closes. So, you know, we'll be respectful of time for sure. But, you know, Pastor was saying, you know, we support 100 missionaries. Man, I tell you, that's commendable, church. Wow, that just blows me away. And, you know, it's amazing. Amen. And that's the hand of God. And I tell you, missions of the church, our sending church, that's the very heartbeat of God. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, is getting the gospel around this world. But here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, I'll ask you if you're physically able to stand in respect to reading God's word. Matthew chapter number 28, beginning in verse number 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," and I like that, amen, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," because of that, amen, because all power is given unto him, "go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And you can be seated, and I'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word tonight. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this open door. We thank you, Lord, for Dr. Ennis and this wonderful church, the ministry, Lord, that they have here, the missionaries they support, the camp meeting, God, that they host. And Father, what a blessing it was for us to have been able to be here last year. Father, we just ask you to bless this ministry, Lord, for your glory and your honor. Lord, as we stand here tonight, I pray, God, that you'd touch my mind and my heart, my lips, my tongue. God, help us to be a blessing and encouragement to this church tonight. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to bless the reading of your word. I pray tonight, Father, that you'd just help it to fall on the good ground of our hearts. And Father, help us as Christians to bring forth fruit, Lord, that bring glory and honor and praise to your holy name. Lord, we just ask you to do a work tonight here that only you can. Father, we just commend this service into your hands, asking you to get glory and honor. And Lord, everything that you accomplish, it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We think about the Great Commission tonight, and by way of title, I'll introduce a question to you tonight. How does the Great Commission affect us? And I'm looking across an auditorium. I see many people that's probably younger than me, and I see many people that's older than me, and I say that respectfully. But, you know, how can a born-again child of God, how does that Great Commission affect your life? And I tell you tonight, if anybody is sincere about serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and if we go to our Heavenly Father and ask Him, "Lord, how can I fulfill the Great Commission today?" And I promise you, amen, if we're sincere enough to want to know something, He'll show us, amen. He'll show us something, whether it be by word of prayer for a specific need in an individual's life, or maybe going to your workplace as a witness and a testimony, or maybe to your school where you're around so many people that even your pastor may not even see in his lifetime. But God has allowed those people to cross your path for a reason. And maybe it's to a neighbor right here in what we call the very buckle of the Bible Belt. But let me say today, man, this is a mission field, if I've ever seen one. And, man, I tell you, and there again, I'm looking at a congregation. Many of you have seen a more drastic change in America than I have seen. And I can remember a time in my childhood, Mom and Daddy didn't lock the house. We didn't lock the church house. People in the community respected the house and the grounds of God. And but I can say, you know, that it's a different day and time that we live. And certainly the Bible's true when it said last day's perilous time shall come. And just a few miles up the road from where we live in South Carolina, somebody broke into a church. And I say this, you know, respectfully as I can, but come down and to the communion table, took the offering pans and used the restroom in that offering pan, took pages out of God's word and wiped themselves with it. And this is the day we live in, church, and we can't deny that. And if we didn't lock the church house, something is subject to happen here. And but, you know, by God's grace, He's probably protected this place. And, you know, we think about that, the Great Commission. Amen. I tell you, if there's any hope for America, It's not in a political realm. Amen. It's not in a financial realm. It's in the gospel realm. Amen. It's in a realm that's able to make a change in the hearts and lives of and boys and girls and men and women around this nation. And I tell you, we've strayed away as a nation, haven't we? I tell you, I'd have never thought as a child we'd be living in the day that we live in today. I'd have never thought, and had an elderly man tell me this several months ago. He said, "But Leslie, you'll never see the America that I knew." And man, I tell you, talking about breaking a young man's heart. And perhaps patriotically, maybe not. And you know, perhaps politically, maybe not. But I'm satisfied, church. God can still revive His people. Amen. God, as the song was saying, God can still save souls even today. And I tell you, we've heard it all of our lives, haven't we? That God, His imminent return, He's coming. It could be today, and certainly it could be. And but I tell you, and I've heard men of God say this down through the years, that one of these days, the last member of the body of Christ is going to get saved by the grace of God, and we're going to be caught up out of here, amen? And certainly, that's certainly a reality. And I hope it's from Cordova, Alaska, amen? God saves that last member of the body of Christ. But, you know, how does the Great Commission affect us tonight? And I tell you, as a born-again child of God, we ought to wake up on a daily basis and say, "Lord, let my paths cross with somebody today that needs to hear a clear presentation of the gospel." We are an open epistle read of men. And we think about that tonight. We think about centering our lives around the gospel. And I tell you, when I consider the gospel message, it constrains me to want to live a separated and a dedicated holy life unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight. I think about the book of Romans, you know, where He constrains His children to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. And that's our reasonable service. And I tell you, nothing better that we can do, amen, as children of God, to yield our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And man, I tell you, He's got enough. The ultimate picture of love, isn't it? The cross of Calvary, what He done for us, and the picture and the price that He paid for us as the human race. Couldn't we live for Him, amen? Couldn't we sacrifice some time? Couldn't we put a little effort, amen, in getting the gospel around the world? I tell you, that's the hope for America. That's the hope for all mankind, no matter what color we are, no matter where we stand in society. That is the hope, amen? And, man, I tell you, I grew up in the poor side of town, I tell you, in Arkansas there. And, man, I tell you, I'm glad it wasn't our social status that got us into a place called heaven. I'm glad it wasn't what family we were born into. There again, I'm not, my mom and dad's good parents. They're good people. And but I tell you, we had everything we needed. We didn't have a lot of wants, I can tell you that. But I tell people sometimes that we were so poor growing up that we'd go to KFC just to lick other people's fingers, amen? But, you know, we think about the gospel and the need of the gospel. Man, I tell you, that's the need of America, isn't it? I tell you, that's going to make the eternal change. That's what's going to make the change in eternity when we stand before a thrice holy God. I can remember a time in my life, there again, under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, under the condemnation of sin, standing. I could just picture myself standing there before a holy God in the rags of a false profession, in the rags of works. And but I tell you, that night of June 13th of 1992, I traded those in, amen, for a robe of righteousness. And now, under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, here I stand tonight, and forgiven, amen. And I tell you, 20 plus years of being saved by the grace of God, Pastor, still dawns on me, amen, the benefits that is of being a child of God. And, you know, we think about this, the Great Commission, and how it affects our lives. It ought to affect the walk we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, man, I tell you, the walk we have with Him is the walk we have with His Word, amen. And man, I tell you, this is God's Word. This is what God has to say for us today. And I tell you, what we need is right here contained without error, amen, in King James Version of the Bible. I'm all for that, man, amen. But, you know, we think about the Great Commission. It'll affect the walk that we have with men, and how, you know, how we coincide, how we work with the people around us. And you know, before God allowed us to step out on full-time deputation, I used to teach our teenage class in our home church. And I told those young people, I said, You know, I worked for the company I worked for almost 15 years before we went full-time. But I said, you know, I said, I could go to work tomorrow and in one sentence ruin 15 years of testimony. And, you know, God forgive us, amen, for bringing a reproach on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God forgive us for bringing a reproach on the body of Christ. And I tell you, we need to be a clean people, amen, as a church, as a Christian. We're representatives. Like I mentioned before, we are an open epistle read of men. And I tell you, we ought to be separated unto Him. What a joy it is, again, to be a child of God and for that change to take place. I can remember a time I was a different person when I was at home and at church with my parents, but I'd get away from that influence and I'd go to school and I'd have different conversations. I'd listen to things that I shouldn't have listened to. And, you know, I was a different person. But I tell you, that night of June the 13th, 1992, it changed, amen. God put a new desire in our hearts. And, man, I tell you, that'll make a change, amen. And you've seen on the video, religion. I tell you, without the truth of God's Word, it's confusion, isn't it? And who would ever thought somebody could get by, and they're not getting by the way, with having a Christian bookstore and a liquor store next door. But I tell you, but that's what religion is. Without the truth, it's just confusion. And they need the truth of God's Word being preached unto them, amen. But we think about the Great Commission and how it affects us. It'll affect our walk, but it also would affect our witness. And this is how God gave the Great Commission to me when God started dealing with me about Alaska. I mean, you picture the very scene of heaven. God the Father is on the very throne of heaven. And Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Holy angels, ministering spirits of God, are surrounding the very throne of God. And, you know, God could have commissioned those angels. God could have chose using those angels to get the gospel message to this lost and dying world, but He didn't, amen. He has commissioned and charged and commanded us as born-again children of God. And, man, I tell you tonight, that ought to excite us, for one, knowing that God would entrust such a great and powerful thing to our stewardship, and knowing that this is how God chose us, amen. And, you know, there again, can God use us? Can God allow people to cross our paths for a reason? And no doubt those angels, man, they can perform things flawlessly. Ask me how I know, amen. I drove up 85 today, amen, come through Charlotte and those big cities, amen. But, you know, and no doubt, you know, God directs us around things. God moves things out of our way, perhaps. And, you know, those guardian angels, amen, they protect us many, many times. But when it comes down to the single most important thing on the face of this earth, and that's getting this gospel message out to this lost and dying world, He has given that to us, amen, as children of God. And as the body of the born-again believers, the church, amen, to get the gospel around this world. And we think about, there again in the book of Proverbs, a very familiar passage, a verse here, Proverbs 29, the first part of number 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And man, I tell you, it's just so many times we put blinders on, and I'm speaking for myself many times. We get wrapped up in a day's goings. We get wrapped up in schedules and all this and that, and not necessarily bad things, but things that is easily, amen, put in our path to where we avoid opportunities to be a witness and to be a testimony for the glory of God. And this incident happened just a handful of years ago to my father. He was kind of semi-retired, working third shift security job, working about 15, maybe 20 miles down the road, and been working all night long. He got exactly a mile from the house on the interstate overpass and there was a collision there, and he chose to stop and instantly killed the driver of one vehicle. There were two young men I went to school with, and keep in mind, you know, there again, we're 15, 20 miles from the nearest hospital, and so he was there before any kind of emergency responders and things like this. But, you know, there were two young men in a pickup truck, and it instantly killed one of the guys. And, you know, we think about, I thought, as soon as Daddy told me this, man, it just clicked in my mind, in my heart, the spiritual application of this. You know, there again, we've heard it all of our lives, Lord's coming, and we could be just a mile away, Pastor, from the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here we are in the path of life, crossed paths with people. He was pinned in. The only survivor in that accident was pinned in. And because of the impact, the doors were sealed closed. And he said before EMS could get there, the vehicle caught on fire. And he said he couldn't stand there. Daddy said, I couldn't stand here to watch that young man burn alive. And he said the whole time this young man's reaching for him after that thing caught on fire. And he said he knew that he was the only hope that young man would ever have. And, you know, that's where this world's at today. They're pinned in their sin, reaching out to people who know the truth. Maybe not in action, but I tell you, in their thoughts and in their intent to their heart, they need somebody to reach out unto them. Daddy got up in the back of the truck because of he couldn't open the door. He kicked the back glass out, trying to drag that man out everywhere he could. And finally, through flames across the dead man's body, they locked wrists, and Daddy was able to drag him out to safety. And, you know, he chose to stop and make a difference. And, you know, Book of Jude brings that out, doesn't it? Some have compassion, making a difference. It'd be sad to lose a life physically, but how much the more when that eternal soul may wake their eyes up in a place called hell. And God, there again, allows us to cross paths with so many people on a daily basis. I cross paths with people today that I'll probably never, ever see again in my lifetime. And what I chose to do, you know, in that opportunity, you know, could God use us to give them a track? Could God use us to tell them that God loves them? And, man, I tell you, God help us to be filled with the Spirit of God. God help us to be a witness, and God help us to be a testimony for the glory of God in this day and time that we live. And, you know, we think about that. We can be a witness. We can be a testimony. I tell you, when we stand before a thrice holy God one of these days, we're going to wish we had, amen. And if you're looking at this preacher tonight, you're looking at one of the most bashful people you'd ever meet in your life. If you'd have told me 15 or 20 years ago, Brother Leslie, God's going to call you to preach. God's going to put you in Cordova, Alaska. Pastor, I just melted out on the floor. Amen. You'd have had to shovel me up and put me in a bucket over in a corner. Amen. But, you know, God can take our weaknesses. God can take our inabilities. And God can use us. Amen. No matter who we are and what we think are our inabilities. But here we are. Amen. God can use each and every one of us. Amen. To fulfill the gospel commission he's given to us born-again children of God. How does the Great Commission affect us? It'll all affect the work, the walk we have among men. It'll all affect the walk we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It'll all affect the witness we have in this lost and dying world. But I want to call your attention to a passage of Scripture before I close tonight. Psalm chapter number 126, if you will. In this passage of Scripture, there's some promises that God's given us. Amen. But there's also some stipulation that God's given us. Psalm 126, look down at verse number 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a precious promise that is. Amen. But I tell you that God's requiring an effort. God's requiring some compassion. God's requiring us to have a burden for this lost and dying world. I tell you, I think about the rich man in Luke chapter number 16, how he had a burden, he had a vision, didn't he, for his family. But it was way too late. It was way too late. And if we leave it up to this world to have a burden and have a vision for their lost estate, they'll never get saved by the grace of God. You go to the end of the street. I mentioned, you know, we spent the whole month of October in Alaska. We were in several mission conferences while we were there. Spent some time in Cordova, but we're renting a house. And if you go down to the end, the house we're renting is on a dead-end street. But if you go down to the main road there and look to the left and up on a little hill, there's a grave right there, and you can see Catholic influence. You can see Orthodox influence. You go down a couple streets and hang a left, go back out toward the airport. Airport's about 16 miles out of town. On the right side of the road, you'll see another cemetery there. There again, very similar setting, Catholic, Orthodox influence, and those people will never hear a clear presentation of the gospel again. Their eternity's already secure. And man, I tell you, I mentioned the lady in Kentucky 2 weeks before our second trip into Cordova, Alaska. This lady in Kentucky's second cousin, her first cousin's daughter, took her own life out in eternity tonight. Young lady in her early 20s, never hear another clear presentation of the gospel. This last summer, in our home church's mission conference, I seen Facebook confession, amen. You know, I don't try not to abuse it. God allows us to keep in contact with a lot of good people that way. But I seen something different on Facebook. People were asking questions. There's something bad wrong. And we made a contact with a friend of ours there. And she said, it's not good. She said, there's a 17-year-old young man that took his own life, and he's out into eternity tonight. Never hear another clear presentation of the gospel. But yet, amen, we can't go for those that's already passed on. But God's given us a gospel. God's given us a message, amen, that are for living people. And it's our heart's desire, amen, to go there to be a light, be a witness, and be a testimony, to enjoy what we have here tonight. Somebody asked me one time, why is the suicide rate so high in Alaska? And I've never lived there. You know, been there on three different trips for several weeks, you know, between the trips. But, you know, some people blame it on the weather conditions. Some people may blame it on the seclusion in different places. But I tell you, look what we have here tonight, church. We've got the Word of God being preached to us. We've got the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God to keep us encouraged. We've got the Word of God that's not only proclaimed here, but we can have opportunities to read it at our home and different places. We've got a place that we can come and bear one another's burdens. We've got a place to come and lift one another up. And to me, you know, it's just the absence of the gospel. I tell you, it'd be a different world. I know, you know, people that are saved may contemplate suicide from time to time and how sad that is. But I tell you, I think we have a whole lot better chance. We've got the Word of God being preached to us. We've got the Holy Spirit of God that's indwelling us and a place to come, amen, and to encourage and lift one another up. And I trust that y'all pray for us. I tell you, that's such a vital part. I've seen God, through prayer, do so many things in our life. And in the last couple years, we've been on deputation. God's opened doors. God's put us in paths with people. God's just blessed us and done things for us that honestly you could read about in books that's happened to other people. God's allowed us to experience some things like that. But I just trust that, that y'all pray for us and keep us in your prayers. And like I said, we're working with a man out of Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. Not nowhere near. I didn't realize North Carolina was as big as it was until we started deputation. But anyway, he's out of Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. Hopefully toward the end of this month, maybe the first part of March, he's going to be bringing a truck and trailer down, and he's going to be able to relocate us by that way of means. But anyway, it's an exciting time for us, amen. But just keep us in your prayers. And thank you so much, Pastor. I'll turn the service back over to you, and we appreciate this opportunity, appreciate the wonderful accommodations over there as well, and thank you so much.